I want to give you just a couple things here, or just highlight a couple things from surrounding the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, you hear me quote this all the time. We like to preach on this because it kind of establishes a lot of things. But Luke chapter 2, this is when Jesus was born. The angel appeared to the shepherds and said, the baby was born, and you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, okay? And then suddenly, verse 13, Luke 2:13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Jesus changed a lot of things. We always say that Jesus changed everything. The birth of Jesus changed one thing. You know some other things, that the death of Jesus changed some things. The resurrection of Jesus changed some things. The ascension of Jesus changed some things. Jesus being, so there was one thing that changed at his birth. There was a bunch of things changed after his death and resurrection. There was another thing changed when he began his ministry. When the Holy Spirit, like a dove, fell upon him, something changed there. So I want to talk about what changed at his birth, but let me just recap other things that we know changed with Jesus. First of all, the kingdom of God came. When the Spirit descended upon him, he began his ministry, and that was the kingdom of God entering this earth. When the power of God entered the earth, Jesus said, you'll know that the kingdom is here when somebody's casting demons out. That was the one evidence that he said, you'll know the kingdom is here when you see demons coming out. He said, if I cast out demons, you know the kingdom of God has come. And so that was one thing that changed at his ministry. And then he set up his death and resurrection. And at his death and resurrection, lots of things changed. We could spend all day talking about those. He redeemed us from our sins. He redeemed us, purchased us, redeemed us from the curse of the law. He restored authority to its rightful place. After he was about to ascend, he said, you know, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And here it is. Here, I'm going to give it to you. Now you go. His birth, you know, being born allowed him to reconcile us to God. He reconciled all things to God. So because of Jesus Christ, we are now brought close. So there's lots of things that happen. The Bible says he himself is our peace. He was born to destroy the works of the devil. He did that in his ministry. And then after his death, that was the culmination of him putting his foot on the devil's neck. He was born so that we could be born again. Hallelujah. Now, you couldn't be born again until after his death, after he shed his blood. So these things happened after the cross. He was born to save the world so we could have everlasting life. Matthew's gospel said that unto you will be born a Savior. You'll call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. We need saving from our sins, don't you know? He was born to rule the world. It hadn't happened yet, but he was born to rule the world. He's not ruling the world right now. He will rule the world. It's coming. Hallelujah. And so he was born so he could rule the world, so he could come back. So he is coming back. Hallelujah. So these are all the wonderful things that Jesus provided and the reasons he was born. But I want to talk for just a moment about the one thing that changed when he was born. So between God and man, there's always been lots of order. God established things by his word. He declared and commanded and set the rules of engagement, or we could say the covenant, or we could say the relationship. And it changed a little bit throughout the ages because of the way he was dealing with man's reaction. Like Adam and Eve had a perfect paradise. They blew it. God had to set forth a different order. And then Abraham and then Moses. And then he said, here's a law. Y'all are so crazy. Here's a law to control you. So things changed throughout the ages. But here's one thing that changed at the birth of Jesus. We just read it. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's some big statements in that one little sentence, okay? Prior to this moment, there was wrath on earth against all ungodliness. There was judgment and justice that was swift. And you know, we teach on this a lot, but I want you to understand so that you can understand what peace is. Because some people look around at life and say, you know, this crazy world out there. There's not a whole lot of, anger and a lot of meanness and a lot of bad things happening, and people just aren't right. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm just going, it's going somewhere in a handbasket. I don't know where that term came from. But we look at the world, it's like there's not much peace on earth, and that's not what he came to give. He didn't come to give peace visibly. A lot of times we get stuck looking at the outward. We get stuck looking at just the circumstance or the natural side of things, but that's not where the peace entered. And that's why you still have wars and rumors of wars, and you got nations against nations and people against people and neighbors against neighbors and spouse against spouse, because he didn't come to fix that yet. Now, it's coming a day when he will fix that. When he sets up his throne at his second coming, he will establish peace on earth. Right now, the peace that's on earth is not visible necessarily. It's inside of us. So you have to realize that he said peace on earth, yes, but it requires Jesus Christ in your heart. And then you can have peace in your heart. You can have peace in your mind and peace in your body. So you see that peace on earth began with Jesus Christ, where God put down his gavel. He was the just God, almighty, swift punishment. When Jesus was born, it's like he laid it down. And now mercy triumphs over judgment. During this church age, mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's why when somebody's dealing with tragedy or evil, it's never God who's punishing. There's coming a day of punishment and judgment for the wicked, those without Christ. But right now, his punishment has been paused, and then he's exempted all of us from that punishment. Why? Because Jesus was born. Remember Jesus on the earth, he told his disciples, go into the city and first say, peace be to this house, and then heal the sick. So healing of the body is part of the peace of God. That started with Jesus Christ. You notice how the disciples, they didn't understand what changed at his birth. They didn't understand. But because Jesus, God had sent the Savior, he had to pause the punishment at his birth. Once the Savior split the earth open and came, peace has begun. The disciples didn't understand it. They said, do you want us to call fire from heaven and burn up these people that didn't believe in you? Jesus said, whoa, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. That's over, but to save them. Whole new attitude. The disciples really didn't understand that. Even at the end, Peter's chopping ears off. Jesus said, put your sword up. He said, if my kingdom were of the world, my servants would fight. And so you have to realize that peace has, and this is why we as Christians don't establish an army and go to war. So all the crusader stuff that was done in the name of Christianity was a false Christianity. So the peace that entered the earth is inside of us and changes us. We're no longer warriors against natural people. The only thing we war against is in the spirit and the soul. And we fight the good fight of faith, which is not with swords. I see you're all enthused about it. Or guns. Or cannonballs. Peace on earth begins with the Christian having Jesus in his heart. And that means you and I, listen, that means you and I, we it's almost like we owe it to the Lord to focus on and receive that peace. Amen. Like you cannot live a frantic, unpeaceful existence as a Christian. It would be wrong. So we need to get close to the Lord, chill out, learn how to receive his peace, and live it. Glory to God. So don't get caught looking on the outside. People, you know, even Jesus' birth was not glamorous on the outside. Now we kind of glamorize it. We got pretty little perfectly displayed nativity scenes. It wasn't very glamorous. People, we glamorize a lot of things that really weren't very glamorous when it happened. You think Jesus healing the sick was glamorous? It was not glamorous. There was demons flailing all over the dirt. There was spit flying. It was not glamorous. But now this is why we can say, grace be unto you and peace. The disciples said it at least 15 times in the Gospels. After the cross, you never see this term said before Jesus. You never see the term said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have peace, and we can say it to one another, and there's some substance in that. Praise the Lord. So you got it, right? Us having peace on earth is not winning in battle, but winning in our hearts. Amen. So everybody in the room, if you have Jesus, you can be okay and at peace in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at Luke chapter. Well, let me just quote this scripture and we'll finish with the peace part. In Romans 15, verse 13, and you can put that up if you want, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I can have joy and peace in believing. So the way that you and I experience peace is by believing. If you don't know the Bible, you can't believe it. If you don't believe it, you can't have the joy and peace that comes from it. And this is why Christians read their Bible and we get great joy and peace believing. If you want to experience peace, believe the Bible. Believe a promise. Find some. Emphasize them in your life. Believe them, and you're supposed to have some peace come. You're supposed to have some joy rise up on the inside of you. It's the only way to experience anything of God. You have to believe it. You can even feel eternal life. You can feel hopeful destiny for the future if you get close to Jesus. So if you can believe anything of God, you'll have more peace than you started with. Amen. So always stay anchored to God's word so that you can find something to believe. First is to believe in Jesus. He starts the whole thing. But a lot of times Christians go along in life believing in Jesus, but then never believing much else. And we can't have that. If you're a believer in Jesus, you can't just stop there. You got to go find out everything he said so you can believe that. And then we can have joy and peace in believing. So my job always, it feels like, is to introduce you to the joy giver. It's not about just, oh God, give me peace. No, that's not how peace doesn't come by praying. Peace comes by believing. Peace comes by knowing the person of Jesus Christ. So we have to be introduced to the joy giver. Glory. Here's what it might feel like. So as spiritual people, you have to put a little effort into understanding the spiritual feeling or sense that we get. Because you can't see stuff on the outside. You have to get tuned in to the inside. Tuned in to the inward man to have a strong outer man. Luke chapter 1 here. Now this is the promise from God. He called, remember, Elizabeth to have John the Baptist. And so this is the beginning where Elizabeth and Zacharias were pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist. You recall that, right? So I'm going to pick up the story here. Verse 30, then the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Now stop there. Mary finally agrees with him. Says verse 38, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so she was, she had the seed from God and became pregnant with Jesus. Verse 39, this is days or weeks later. Now Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste to a city. See, the hill country is a good place. But then the city's a good place too, because they came back to the city. To a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So this is Mary, pregnant with Jesus, greeting Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice, said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." What she's saying, Elizabeth is saying, that as soon as you entered with Jesus, your baby, in the womb, my baby leaped for joy. She could feel John the Baptist leap in her womb. So baby recognizing baby. And so, you know, you've heard before that John the Baptist in the womb was the first one to recognize Jesus the Savior. It's interesting that the word for babe in the womb is the same word for babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger. Because a baby is a baby, whether it's in the womb or out of the womb. So it's ridiculous to have that. If you're a Christian, it's ridiculous to have the "when is a life" argument. That has nothing to do with anything, because we know from the Bible that if it's started, then it's a baby. So let's not argue about that. You can't convince the world necessarily, but we know as Christians what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
The baby leaped when Jesus was near. We're all supposed to have a leap in our heart when Jesus is near. And so I want you to get, I want you to think about and begin to recognize the leap in your spirit. The leap is what tells you things to do in life. The leap in our heart is what the Spirit feels like whenever it's the will of God. You can get a leap from reading a scripture. Has anybody ever read a page of the Bible somewhere other than Leviticus? Or Ezekiel? If you read a page in the New Testament, I can promise you'll feel a leap sometime. And you can feel a leap in the Old Testament too. It's just a little further to read before you get to one. But you and I, when we read the Bible, we need a leap. We need to be able to get excited like, "Whoo, whoa, that was good. That's all I'm talking about. Oh, ooh, wow. That was that was from God. Ooh, wow, I didn't know that. Wow, that just refreshes me." We should have a leap in our heart forever. If you've never read the Bible, you're going to be leaping all day, every day. Anybody that's hungry for God, anybody that has truly given their life to God will read the Bible, and man, you can't put it down. It's like, "Oh man, I got to go to work." Now, if you're bored with Jesus, it'll be like, "How long do I got to read the Bible?" We need a leap in our heart. It's proof that we're close to Jesus. You can have a leap in your heart in being led by the Spirit. Like you get familiar with what the Spirit does on the inside of us.
First
John 2:20 says that we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. An unction. An unction is another word for leap. An unction, I'm compelled. We have an anointing, another translation says, an anointing, a presence of God on the inside of us, and we know all things.
Amen.
On the inside of my spirit, I'm actually close to God.
Amen.
And there's an unction, there's a movement, and I know things.
Amen.
Like my brain may not figure it out. My brain may want to go 50 other directions, but in my spirit, I know those are wrong.
Amen.
In my spirit, I have an unction and a compelling and a leap that, you know, don't go that way. No. This is the right direction. You know, you're trying to make some decision in life. You need to follow the leap. We call it the inward witness. Romans 8:14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That there's where the leap is. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons of God, that I'm a Christian. And that same Spirit bears witness for me, to me, for all my life decisions. I'm presented with a conflict. I know what to do. I just need to tap down in here and figure it out rather than figure it out in my brain and miss it. Joni and I try to lead the church here by the leap. What do we do? Well, where do I feel a compelling? Where do I feel a freedom? Where do I feel an excitement, a joy? Yes, where do I feel a yes in my heart? Joni and I, Pastor Joni and I purchased our house by the leap. We were looking for a house to buy or build years ago. It was on a Saturday, and we were just kind of sitting around doing nothing. We're like, let's go look at new houses, developments or something. Okay, let's go do it. Before the end of the day was over, we signed something. So be careful on Saturdays. So Pastor Joni and I went and looked at new neighborhoods getting built and stuff like that, and we trying to talk, see what prices and all this, and finally found a place and found our neighborhood and what houses are left. Well, they only had, you know, maybe 20 or 30 left to build in an 1,100 home place and or something like that. And it's like, well, you know, let's go look at layouts and building plans and site plans. And okay, well, let's figure this out. Okay, well, we kind of want this, but they won't let you build that on this property. So let's, I don't know, this one looks pretty good. Let's go for it. And so I was like, okay, so we signed and paid some money down. And then we went home, and it, for the next day or two, it just wasn't feeling right. Just wasn't feeling right. Hey, if you're going to make a big purchase or a little purchase, you ought to just make sure it feels right.
Amen.
So we were at home. It just didn't feel right. Felt a little awkward, like a little uneasy about it, and just didn't feel right. And we're like, you know, the next day or two, I can't remember, it's like, let's go back. Let's go back there and see if there's any other lots to buy. It just didn't feel right. And sure enough, we went into a section of the neighborhood that we didn't even know existed. And boom, there was a lot that made us leap. And we found, and it was a lot more money. That wasn't the fun part. The fun part was that it was like, that's it. We had a leap toward the right thing in the will of God. And part of the will of God sometimes is what He wants. The other part is what He knows you need or what you want. So the way God works with you, the way the Holy Spirit works with you is He helps you, whether it's your wants, your needs, your desires, or His will that can override some of your desires. He doesn't mind you having your own will and desires, but sometimes the decision is not just building a house in what lot, it's something else that changes the course of your life.
Right.
But we had this leap, and so we ran back to the other guy and said, can we have our earnest money back? And they usually don't give it to you, but He gave it to us. And then we went and signed a contract for the new lot with more price, bigger. And it was exciting. And then for the next 3 months or so, I was dealing with the price. This is just one example of how the leap will get you into the will of God, and then you have to fight the good fight of faith. So I know it was the will of God because how the Spirit of God in me felt the moment we made the decision.
Right.
Then I had to fight the good fight of faith to know that my Heavenly Father would provide all the funds needed. So you can't take a step based on finances. You take your steps based on the will of God and the leap. And then you apply all the promises to make sure you're safe, that God protects you, and that you're not worried or anxious. But fighting worry and anxiety, and it's really not even worried that you won't have money. It's, for me, it was, am I sure that I want to spend the money? That was my thought. Am I sure that I want to spend the money for this? And so we talked about it a little bit, but we felt good. And before long, man, it was all taken care of by God, and it felt perfect. But I've learned how to look for the leap. When things don't give me a leap,
right.
You want to do, So what do you have a leap for? What do you have a leap for? If you don't have any spiritual leaps, you're too far from Jesus.
Amen.
Really, I mean, even good Christians, well-meaning Christians, hardcore believers in Jesus sometimes drift in their own soul. And so you have to detect that. Listen, I'm not condemning anybody. You have to detect that for yourself and say, you know what? I'm a little rusty. Raise your hand if you've ever been a little rusty. I'm not looking. If you ever start feeling a little rusty, you need to check up on where you're at with the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues, get back to the Bible, start getting some delight in this Word of God so that you can start feeling the leap toward written things. And if you can feel the leap toward written things, or we can say, if you can feel a leap in church when you hear good things said or preached or done from heaven, if you can start feeling a leap in church, you're getting closer. If you come to church and you never feel any excitement or leap toward any truth or anything done or said or seeing a friend, then you're too far. And we have a corner for you in the back. I'm sorry. I mean, we have. Yeah, that's right. We have a front row seat just for you. Nobody will know. They'll think that you're really excited about Jesus and want to sit in the front. But maybe you'll get a little more if you're in the front. Well, we used to say that when it got a little sticky in church, that the ushers have locked the doors, you can't leave. But then we realized that started making people feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because we were just kidding, but they didn't know. A first timer may not know that. Glory to God. So, believe and you'll have joy. Believe and you'll have peace. Learn how to follow the leap of God. And that can be for life decisions. It can be for peace. You need to have a leap for your comfort.
Yes.
In your heart, you need comfort. And that happens by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So all the things of God are received by your faith, by your spirit. And that's where you detect, do I have a scratch or a leap? Do I have fuel to the engine? That's what the leap feels like sometimes. You feel energized toward or motivated toward the will of God. And that helps you overcome mountains, leap over tall buildings. It helps you run against the wall. It helps you use your faith because you know that the Spirit has moved you that direction. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is everybody leaping yet?
Yes.
There's hope for your life. There's hope for your future. There's hope for this coming year.
Yes.
There's more joy. There's more peace than we've experienced. Like you can actually be happy all year.
Hallelujah.
You don't even have to wait for a Christmas song to be happy. Some people start Christmas early because it's the happiest time of year. But for Christians, we're happy all the time because Jesus already been born. He doesn't get reborn every Christmas. He's already born, and we're experiencing life with Him.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is that Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.